3rd chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. May the Lord just add his blessing to these so familiar words upon his own precious word. Sir, we're glad to see you back in your seat of honor again. You had a good time in prison last night? I was most concerned as to whether they'd let you out. It's good to know the man with the key, isn't it? Oh, you have one. He is the man with the key. Look at that now. So, let's turn to our core sheet, and we're all going to sing. Let's turn to our core sheet, please. And you know what I'd like us to sing? Number 7. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. If you haven't a core sheet, please raise your hand. Our good steward at the door will hand one out. There's one on the back row needed, sir. Thank you very much. And a very good singer, that young fellow is, too. I might have him up the front in a moment. Well, there we are. Course number 7, but it's 1 Timothy 1:17, so as long as you read from the authorized version, you can read it from your Bible, sing it from your Bible. Of course, if you've got one of those newfangled ones, well, don't drop. But 1 Timothy 1:17. Thank you. You?
Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, in honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, I do enjoy you singing that one. It's the only time I get you to say amen. And you say it 3 times. Look at, you know, revival breaking out, isn't it? Aye. So all together, once again, please. Thank you.
Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only one.
Lord Jesus, what a wonder you are. Do we know this answer? Don't we? Oh,
we'll have to learn it, won't we? You sisters know it on the front row? Don't you? Your education's been neglected.
You know you're a lot of head nodders here. Are we ready then? Please, number 8, and our pianist will play it right the way through. We'll remind ourselves or learn the tune, and then we'll sing it together. Thank you, sir.
Morning.
He's hiding in the back somewhere, I expect.
Oh, well, there we are. We'll try it together. Thank you. Number 8. And if you're not certain, well, it doesn't matter if you make a mistake. You'll soon learn it. I know this. It's got something to say.
Now, actually, the chorus says Jesus.
Jesus.
But I like to sing Lord Jesus, don't you?
Lord. Lord Jesus. What a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. You're fairer, much fairer than the lily that grows by the wayside, precious, more precious than gold. That's what the Bible says in every line. That's what the Bible says.
So come away, that's really fine. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're brighter and the morning star. You're fairer, much fairer than the lily that grows by the wayside. Precious, more precious than gold.
I tell you what we'll do.
We'll have just a minute. Are you ready, ladies? Come on now, let's have a little bit. I mostly say to the children, I'm breathing with white. Or if you like,
really wide now.
Open up and sing. Are you ready? Just for ladies, ready to go. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, what a wonder you were. You're brighter than the morning.
What a wonder you are.
up on the platform and say, "Hey, standing the ground. Why, that was lovely. Let me try just one other thing, eh? You have a favor. Call out the number." "Well, thank you, sir. Number 12. Number 12. Oh, I know who asked for that one. Number 12. Who can move the mountain?" "Thank you.
Who can move the mountain? Father Henry Good today. Who can take the world like pebbles, hear them come away? Who can prove his power when a Christian needs to pray? It is Jesus. He is the one who heals the sick, turns water into wine. He makes all things possible, and he's a friend of mine. Just as Jesus, he's the one."
"Well, we'll have those two girls on their own, huh? Thank you for volunteering like that. Very kind of you. Are you ready?"
"Oh, no need to turn around. Are you ready? Just these two girls will come up. Thank you. Who can go to the mountain where God is hindering you today? Who can take the lost like cattle clear and gone away? Who can prove his power when my Christian needs to pray? If it be so. Turn water into wine. He makes all things possible, and he's a friend of mine. He's the one."
"Very good. You know, sir, that was almost as good as your singing last night, wasn't it? That was not lovely, really, huh?
Lovely.
We've time for one more. Someone else has a favor. Number 9? 13, I beg your pardon, sir. Number 13. Ah, he is Lord. And what better one for tonight? He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Number 13, please." "Don't we have a music for it, sir?" "Oh, well, you can play without music, I'm sure. It's very kind of you. Well, that's something like it. Just get in there a moment. Right. They're all there, the notes. It's just a matter of sorting them out, you know, putting them in the order.
Are we ready?
Thank you.
He is Lord, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
He is my Lord.
He's my Lord, he's my Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he's my Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, my Lord."
Amen. Thank you very much. Just a word of prayer. Oh God and Father, we do rejoice that there is coming a day when every knee shall confess, though every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we very simply want to say tonight that there are many of us, if not all of us in this service, who would own him as Lord now. Grant, we pray thee, that we may be able together to grasp something of the wonder of the Lord Jesus. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. Those of you that have been with us in the past evenings know that we are dealing with one or two rather simple and yet, I believe, very important subjects.
In the first evening, we dealt with the Word of God and how to read it. Of course, we did not exalt that. We never will. But I trust we may have, as it were, set a light, a spark, that will give to all of us a desire to become more earnest in the reading of the Word of God. And then we dealt not only with the Word of God and how to read it, but last evening we thought a little of the will of God and how to know it. And we found out that the will of God was not some mystical thing that we can't know, not something that appertains to one or two little problems that meet our life. But the will of God is something that is written about in the Word of God. And it affects our motivation, and it affects our morals, and it affects our manner of life, it affects everything. The will of God. And we are not left without a definite recording as to what the mind of God and the will of God is in most of the things that encircle our life. Tonight I want to talk a little about the worship of God and how to present. And you will appreciate from my last remark last evening that I believe this to be one of the most important of all subjects. So you will remember, as we were leaving last evening, I made this statement, that there are many, many, many verses that tell us that God can serve himself. I could give you now 50 verses almost just like that. The tell that God can serve himself. But please remember, there is not one verse that tells us that God can worship himself. See, you and me is given the most important, the greatest of all privileges, that we might worship the Father in spirit and in truth. See, you and I are given that of worshiping him. And while I think that we will see tomorrow night when we deal with the work of God and how to do it, while I think that the service of God is a most important thing, never let us forget that worship always precedes. It is important that we shall be working. Now I have a confession. That where worship starts, and where service starts, I would have it very difficult. I know there is a sense in which we serve out of our worship, and we worship out of our service. But because the Word of God speaks of the two as separate things they must be. Although the two run together, so very good. David used something for that worship. Maybe from his heart when he cried out in the words of 2 Samuel chapter 7, he cried, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord, for there is none unto thee." Oh, what a thing. We sang this evening, and maybe we entered a little into worship. We sang this evening, "How great thou art." I didn't know we were going to sing that hymn. And it was a requested hymn. Whoever requested it was right in the line of what the Spirit has laid on my heart to sing. "Wherefore," cries David, "wherefore thou art great, O Lord, for there is none like him." Have we come to realize that? Have you and I come to realize that there's none like unto our God? For there are many gods in the world that men worship. Not many gods in the world, please, please. But many gods in the world that men have made and worshipped. But never let us forget this. That as far as the Word of God is concerned, we are left in no doubt whatsoever. That God is. And that God is love. And God is a consuming fire. And God is light. And God is light. It is not what God has, it's what He is. It is not an attribute of God. It is the very character, the personification of God. And of God, that alone can be said. I have come across many so-called gods in my traveling in the world. I want to say this of them, that I've come across gods that are corrupt gods. Cruel God. And cursing God. When I think of the one and only God, none of those things can affect me. I remember the first time I ever had to face in a very real way Buddhism. I was away in Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia. And I had to face really for the first time in my life a vast number of people who were Buddhists. And there were many things I found very difficult, extremely difficult to take. For instance, I found it extremely difficult to take their attitude to animals. I saw these Buddhists who had their beaks of burn, mostly ashes, junkies. And upon their backs they would lay one such weight that no normal junkie could be expected to carry it. And I would see them as they beat them and beat them and kick them. I wonder how anyone could do that. Still, dear Mr. Adams, he served God for so many years, 47 years in Malaysia. He said to me, Brother Sam, don't say a word. Don't forget. What they're doing is because of their God. It is part of their religion. They believe that when a man dies as he has lived, so he will come back into this scene. If he has lived a poor, evil life, he will come back as a creature, he'll come back as an animal. If he's lived a decent life, there's a chance he'll come back as a man. Maybe someone higher in society than he is today. When you see him kick their feet, all they're doing is saying, okay, I am doing what my God desires of me, that I shall punish the man that now is in that deep form. So don't tell me it's unimportant who you worship. It affects your whole life. That's why you need to be right about who is God. Who is God? And my Bible tells me that that God is the God, the God, the creator of heaven and earth, who is love, who is light, who is light, who is the consuming fire, that God. The God that desires from us not just our service, but our worship. The Lord Jesus, friend, the Father seeks of such to worship Him. I am indebted to a very dear friend. Away in the town of Lar, on the west coast of Scotland, and the Ayrshire. I have a very dear friend, somewhat aged today, William White. I know not a man. I don't think I have met a man, unless it was Fred McKenzie, who the Lord has just called home to be with him. But I don't know if I've ever met a man who could lead God's people in worship more. As I am indebted to him for what now I'm going to. One Lord's Day morning, as we were gathering large around the entrance, the chapel was full, very, very much larger crowd than we have here this evening. And suddenly, dear Willie Whitelaw rose to his feet, a little feeble in body now. But he said, Brethren, I've been thrilled this week as I've been reading again the last book of the Bible. I noticed that it started off with a solo. As John sings, unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood. But isn't it wonderful that our God is too big for a solo? And so next, we find there's a quartet. There are four living creatures who are singing, and they're singing unto him, and they're singing, worthy is the Lamb. But our God is too big for a quartet. And so he tells us the 24 elders. I suppose, sir, that'd be a junior choir, wouldn't it? He tells us the 24 elders who join their voices and they sing the same, worthy is the Lamb. But our God's too big for that. You need more than a solo, and you need more than a quartet, and you need more than a junior choir. So he tells us of 10,000 times 10,000. I say that was a real command beginning. Why, here are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands singing with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And I can see it now. He looked at us, and in his quaint, historic voice, he said, Ah, my brethren, our God can speak. He needs more than a solo, and more than a quartet, and more than a junior choir, and more than a command begani. Although he didn't use that, but as well. He says, but then he goes on and tells us of all creation singing the same song, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, brethren, sisters, whatever else we remember this, that our God is worthy of our worship. He's big enough for the praise of everyone. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. I was stirred, and I'm sure you were, thy good sister, sang the lovely words of the 5th chapter of Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. You've noticed this, of course you have. You've noticed this and thrilled with it, haven't you? That everything that Jesus is worthy to receive is what he gives. May I please remind you of this? We only keep what we give away. Is that right? You think of that in any sphere. We only keep what we give away. You young folk want to have friends. Well, I'll tell you how to get them. He that would have friends must show himself friendly. You know, it's a bit of a job to be friendly with someone who does, you know, all the time, isn't it? The Bible says he that would have friends would show himself friendly. You give away friendship and you'll get it. When I went
to one of those old English schools. Well, I left school when I was 13 and a half, but there it was. But I went to an old school where there were 50 boys in a class. You know, and it looked.
I hear some of these schools you see today that they don't know their name. They have about 20 in a class, and they grumble about too big a class. You imagine 50 boys in a class like me.
Was it?
There they were. And you know, we used to find out this, that the way you learn was by giving things away. We had to learn our tables, you know. Twice two is four. Twice three is six.
One very good mathematics.
And we learned it by repetition. by giving it away, by telling them after it, by keep repeating it. When it came to trouble,
Did you know I can still stand up and say great portions of it? Because in a class, you couldn't say the word.
Have you ever met that brother who can always remember a verse? Have you wondered how he does it? I'll tell you how he does it. He'll read a verse, and maybe the verse answers the fact. Worthy is the land that was slain to receive power and riches. And he reads it again. And he reads it again. And then down the road he goes. And he bumps across someone. He says, "Do you know I was reading in the fifth chapter of Revelation today? Worthy is the land that was slain to receive." And he gives it away. He makes it his own. He never makes his own before. He goes down the street a bit further and he bumps across someone else. And he says, "You know, I was reading in Revelation 5 today. Worthy." And by the time of the end of the day, he's given that verse away about 20 times. He's made it his own, so he never ever forgets it. You want to remember the word of God? You give it away. You give it away. Keep giving it away. And you'll never forget. And is it remarkable that in the verse after the psalm, everything that Jesus received, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive, is what he gave away. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Just as your Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power. Riches? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches? Doesn't your Bible say, though he were rich, for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive. What was the third one, sister?
And I was wondering where you forgot.
Oh, I said, worthy is the Lamb that was...
Of course, I've never embarrassed anyone in the life, you know.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive wisdom. Doesn't your Bible say Christ is made unto us wisdom? And when James took his pen, didn't he write, "If ye lack wisdom, ask of God who giveth"? Oh, please. You go through the sevenfold worthiness of the Lord that our sister sang, and everything she sang about is what Jesus gave to those that we trust. And because he gave it, he's going to receive it. Here, I suggest, we have the secret of worship. Here, I suggest, we have the secret of worship. An appreciation of what Christ has given us. And we return to him. You remember when he met the woman at the well? He looked at her and said, "Give me to drink." Is it remarkable how quickly he turned away from earthly water and began to speak of water that was not earthly water at all? So would I not be right in suggesting to you that behind his first request for earthly water, there was a further request for heavenly water? Give me to drink. Is it remarkable how we spend so much time in telling people what God will give to them? I said to someone over the past week, now please, I don't know where it was or who it was, because I say all sorts of things to all sorts of people. But I said to someone just over the course of a week, as we were looking at the 23rd Psalm, or talking a little about it, I said this, "Tell me, is it the shepherd's work to look after the sheep, or the sheep's work to look after the shepherd?" You know, this good person immediately said,
well, it's a
shepherd's work to look after the sheep. Well, I want to tell you that. You see, I come from a county where we grow sheep. Real sheep.
That's something you don't grow over, is it?
You know, all the times I've been here, I've never had a leg of lamb when I've been out to people's to dinner.
But, oh, if you came with us, you'd have a leg of lamb every week. You would.
I say, let me tell you something about sheep. I've never yet, and we come from a county where we grow sheep. No need to take him out, Mom. No need to take him out. He'll be all right. If you can't manage him, pass him up to me. I'll preach with him. Ooh, man. Now, let me make something very clear. If you bring the children and they cry, don't bother. He doesn't bother me at all. No, I mean that. I'm not being funny. I mean that. Mary, I tell you, I preach many a time with children in the eye. Only the first time I've done that. So, children don't bother me. I just made them a cop. They're saying amen. No one else has it. So we have it. The best one. There's no better place in the world to bring your children than the chapel. You bring them. The Lord wants to see you. So let's go back to Dorset. I said we come from a county where we grow sheep. Well, I'll tell you something about sheep. I've never yet met a shepherd who keeps sheep as a hobby. I'll tell you why they keep sheep, because they like a nice wool suit on their back. I'll tell you why they keep sheep, because when Sunday comes down, they like a leg of lamb. Please, the sheep keeps the shepherd. As well as the shepherd keeps the sheep. Very sincerely, I want to say this. I have a shepherd, blessed be his name, and he gave his life for the sheep. He's my faith. I want to be able to say, Lord, I want to give my worship to you, that you will see of the travail of your soul and be satisfied. That you'll get something out of the sheep. We spend our days telling what the shepherd will do for us. Isn't it nice to spend just a few moments to think of what we can do then? We are here that we might offer our sacrifice of praise to God continues. You know, the first mention of worship in the Bible, you know it, don't you? I mean, everyone knows it. You were taught it in Sunday school. The first mention of worship in the Bible is Genesis 22. When Abraham said to his servant, tarry here, while I and the lad go yonder to worship. And it's Moriah's man. It's the darkness that this man Abraham has never entered before. When God says, Abraham, I want you to lay your son Isaac upon an altar. There was an altar. And there was to be a sacrifice. And there Abraham was to learn that God would supply himself a lamb for a sacrifice. Never let us forget, brethren, that's the first mention of worship in the whole of the Bible. If you and I will know anything about worship, we will come to appreciate an altar. We will come to appreciate a God who's given us the land for a sacrifice. Oh, I have said this so many times, and every gospel preacher says it, and you young folk never need to forget that when Abraham stood and answered his son Isaac's question, where is the land? He said, God shall supply himself a lamb. But never forget he didn't do it. Never forget. If you forget that, you will never understand the Old Testament for you. You were taught in your Sunday school class. You were taught in your Bible class. But that is the fundamental truth of 22nd chapter of Genesis. That God didn't do it. No need for me to tell you.
have you people here, although you don't grow sheep here. There's no need for me to tell you the difference between a lamb and a ram. It was a ram that was caught by its horns in the thicket and died in the stead of Isaac. Not a lamb, but the promise of God to supply himself a lamb. The Old Testament in every sacrifice, whether it was the morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, the Passover sacrifice, whatever it was, this was the question. Is this the Lamb of God's appointed? And every one of them were lambs of man's appointed. One day, looking upon Jesus and evil, would you mind me stopping and shouting hallelujah? One day, looking upon Jesus as he walked, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. God kept his word. It's true! 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. Behold the Lamb of God who beareth away the sin of the world. The first mention of worship is associated with that scripture. God shall supply himself a lamb. And you will never be able to worship God until you know the Lamb of God is your son. That's the foundation of all worship. You will remember as you turn with me in your thoughts to the first chapter of Revelation again. That great 6th verse is it. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. And, oh, blessed be his name, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Oh, how important it is for us to remember that it springs from an appreciation of Christ. There is a little verse that is often used, and I want to use these verses that we're all familiar with. There is a little verse that is often used of the Lord say more. You must have heard it in here 1,000 times like that. Now, maybe that's not exact. But nevertheless, I want to use it. It comes from the Old Testament. There is a sense in which it is not associated with worship, and yet I want to use it. There is a little verse that's tucked away in the Old Testament, and this is what it simply says. The 13th verse of the 45th chapter of Genesis. When Joseph looked at his brethren, having revealed himself to them, he said, go, tell my father of all my glory that is in Egypt. How many times have you heard brethren use that verse? God. I was sold as a slave into Egypt. My father's father is dead. Go tell my father of all my glory. Sir, man, that's worship. Telling the father of all the glory. Presenting Jesus Christ to the Father. In the verses that we have read in the epistle of Peter, you will remember we were told that we were holy priests. And we were told we were royal priests. And is not that remarkable as well? Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? A holy preacher. I like those words, don't you? He did not say, please, note this. He did not say, but they, Paul, and Peter, and Apollos, and Bartholomew, and he did not say, we are a holy preacher. He's writing to all the believers and he says, ye are. And is it remarkable that there are holy priesthoods, not an educated priesthood, not a trained priesthood, a holy priesthood. You see, just previously, in the previous verses, he speaks of them as newborn babes. But as though they're newborn babes, desiring the sincere work of the milk of the word, he says, but ye are a holy priesthood. Listen, you young people. Never you forget this, that before God, you are holy priesthood. Priesthood is not something that is shut up. The curse of Christendom today, see? The curse of Christendom today is what they term laity and clergy. There is nothing in the Word of God to support. Not one verse in the Scripture. We all are holy priests. All of us. And we are all to present our worship. I sometimes put it this way, I've done it here before, but let me do it now. As holy priests, and see the difference between royal priesthood and holy priesthood is obvious. Holy priesthood always is associated with our worship addressed to God. Royal priesthood, we go out into the world to represent Him who has called us out of this state of darkness and His glory. And praise God, holy priesthood is associated with the throne of God. Royal priesthood is associated with our daily work and our daily work. But as holy priests, there are three things we are ordered to present as our sacrifices. First, we are ordered to present our person. Romans 12 and 1, present your body, the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is, says the revised version, your intelligent worship. So we present our person. As holy priests, we present not only our person, but as holy priests, we present our person. Hebrews 30. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. Isn't that important? That you and I shall continually praise the Lord. And as holy priests, we not only present our persons and present our praise, but as holy priests, please, we present our purpose. To communicate and do good, forget not, for with such sacrifice God will be. Brethren and sisters, if we were to lift our giving onto the plane of our priesthood, there never would be a lack in the service of God. Or how important it is for us to present our person and to present our praise and present our as holy priests. As royal priests, we go forth. I beseech you, royal priests, that you'll go forth in this city, in this world, to represent Him who has called us out of nature's darkness into His glory. Our worship. And how to present it. First of all, it must be presented in absolute sincerity. Out of a deep appreciation of the Lamb that was slain. It has not only to be presented with sincerity, it has to be presented with consistency. The sacrifice of praise continually. The fruit of our lips. And it's the fruit of our lips. In other words, brethren, and I want to emphasize this, I believe that it takes as much time to prepare for our worship as it does to prepare for our prayer. There's not a brother here this evening who, if he were asked to stand here of a Lord's Day evening or a Lord's Day morning and preach the gospel, there's not a brother here would spend time in preparation and time in prayer. You'd stand here having spent maybe a whole week in preparing what you're going to say. I want to ask you, how much time do you spend in preparing for your work? When you come to the Lord, my Father in the faith, you should say there are two things that ruin a prayer meeting. long prayers and long pauses. There are two things that ruin our worship. Long worship and long pauses. Let's come prepared to worship. You know where our brother's been during the course of the week of the Lord's Day morning. And you young man, please, you young man, don't you think that when these brethren stand up and lead us so thrillingly, as so many of them did last that Lord's Day morning, what a thrill it was to be with you last Lord's Day. Really felt that the Lord was getting something out of us. But those brethren that took part last Lord's Day morning, don't you think that it just came spontaneously? Because they've been walking with the Lord in the week, that they're able to take part in the Lord's Day morning. You young man, remember, you are holy priest. I wonder if I could ask, when was the last time some of you young folks thought to leave the fellowship in work? You see, when the Lord instituted this wonderful thing, this communion thing, this breaking of bread, the scripture says, and they sang a hymn. So we are quite scriptural in having our hymn. And godly men have written hymns that will lead us in our thoughts and our worship. And it's important that we are familiar with our hymn book. Not more familiar with our hymn book than with our Bible. But familiar. And there's many a young man here. God is looking for something for his own heart. Maybe it's the presentation of a hymn. Maybe it's just standing to one feet and saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for being such a wonderful thing. You ever done? Oh, how I would love to feel that the fellowship that gathers here is a worshiping God. That the Lord looks at you and says, thanksgiving be. Let's eat up.
Dear Lord, again, we bless thee for the wonder that you ever in your love came into this world to speak and to say the Lord. In the words of the old hymn, we want to say, none of the ransom never knew how deep were the waters from, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. But Lord Jesus, we're so glad that you found the sheep. We're those sheep. We want tonight to say thank you. Please accept our thanks. And give us, as the days come and go, such an appreciation of thyself that from our heart there may flow to thee the acknowledgement of thy worth. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. We wish you good night. Wish you well. Please, if there's something I've said you haven't fully grasped or understood, I'd love to talk to you. If I can be a help in any way, either pointing you to Christ or helping you in your Christian life, if I can help at all, I'm your servant for Christ. The Lord bless you.